You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Play of the week coming up later in the show. I wonder which direction we will go this week. The Hawks win 4-2 at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. Lucas Reichel picks up a goal. Jujhar Khaira picks up a goal. Sam Lafferty picks up a goal. And Dylan Sekera. They all pick up goals for the Blackhawks in a pretty not as entertaining as last night's game, but hey, a 4-2 win on the road against a pretty loaded Red Wings lineup. Pretty impressive performance by the Hawks B team.
Yeah, the game got off to a real fast start. What was it? 2-1 in the first 5 minutes of the game. I thought my bet on the over was going to go over well, but I don't believe it hit. I think it was 6.5. So I appreciate Sam Lafferty's efforts at the end of the game there. But yeah, I mean, a good start. I quote unquote star heavy of a lineup as last night was, but I think much like we saw last night, tonight the players that you were going to focus on and the things you wanted to see out of those guys, especially for most of them, the first time seeing them in the preseason, you saw it. Arvid Soderblom played a great game in net. I can't remember which one of you two said it, but on Twitter, but kind of felt like an Ice Hogs game where Detroit was out shooting Chicago pretty substantially throughout the entire game, but Soderblom was able to do his part, came up with some huge saves in the third period to keep the lead intact there on late in the third period. So yeah, he looked great. Kevin Korchinski, his second game in a row, I think he was positively noticeable. Made a great play to Lucas Reichel, and Lucas Reichel got the goal. So a lot of the guys that you wanted to see do well, they did that, and you get a win. So hey, cherry on top.
Yeah, it definitely, if you watched the Ice Hogs at all last year, that was an Arvid Soderblom game. He's going to face a lot of shots. He's going to have some defensive letdowns in front of him. He's going to look a little shaky at times. He can make you a little itchy because he kind of likes to move around in his crease a lot. But when the game's on the line, he's going to make that big save. He did that in the third period. Three shots from within like 5 feet. Lucas Raymond, Dylan Larkin. I mean, yes, he had to face three shots because he gave up two rebounds, but he made all three saves against two all-star caliber players in Raymond and Larkin. That's an Arvid Soderblom win. He faced about 13 to 20 less shots than he normally did in Rockford. So yeah, not as busy as he's been used to, but it was a prototypical win. He did just enough to keep his team there, and they found a way to win. A big power play goal by Jujhar Khaira in the third period off a rebound. I don't think he's going to have many of those in the regular season, but you never know. But I said it on Twitter after he scored. Any success Jujhar Khaira gets this season is going to make me happy, because that dude, after the year he had last year, to get back to playing at an NHL level and producing for this team, good for him. You know, we got to talk to him a little bit the other day after practice. Stand up guy. Just, you could tell he's worked his ass off to get back here. So anytime he gets to have those moments, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, and the goal was nice. Had, you know, got the puck in front on a rebound and took a second to sort of stick handle himself into a better shooting position. Didn't panic and just sort of force it and flip it on net. So real solid. We should get to the play of the game, and so far the play of the preseason. The Blackhawks' second goal of the game. First period, Korchinski gets the puck behind the net. You know, starts skating it out towards the blue line with a little bit of speed, you know, looking to make something happen. All of a sudden, a sweet sauce pass, like right through center ice. Reichel uses his speed to blow past the Red Wings. He's got a clean breakaway and makes no mistake. And man, it's when you see those moments of two, you know, as it stands right now, I said this on Twitter, probably the two most important Blackhawks prospects as it is right now, until next year's draft happens, whoever that might be. You could probably throw Frank Nazar's name into that mix too, but to see Korchinski continue to be one of the better Blackhawks, and Reichel to, like we said last night, fellas, we really wanted to see Reichel kind of do something in this game, make his presence felt, and he certainly did that. To see those two clicking and playing well, especially Korchinski, and you heard the Red Wings broadcast really kind of rave about him. At several turns, there were a few times where Mickey Redman took some time out to remove his adult diaper and talk. I'm sorry, they're just so old. And
they are. It's so bad. Even like the third guy down at ice level is 107 years old.
We go down to the crib keeper. What are you seeing down there, buddy?
It's like the Blackhawks have done an obvious, like, stride to get younger in their presentation, and the Red Wings are doing the exact opposite.
Yeah, like, anyway,
these guys called Gordie Howell's first game. That's how long they've
been around. No, but it's always cool to hear. I sometimes prefer listening to road broadcasts because I want to hear what other teams think of what the Hawks are doing. And yeah, they certainly took the time, and they were, you know, they got rid of this guy, and they're really going for, they flat out said they're going for Connor Bedard. But to hear them really focus on Korchinski's game and what he brings and how good he's looked, it's good to get that validation that they're seeing what we're seeing, what, you know, Vosters is seeing and Troy is seeing. You know, Korchinski's been great. He's been so, so good. And it's great to see. You know, because look, we've seen a lot of defensive prospects who've turned into good NHL players, like Henry Okaharju and Adam Boqvist. When we first saw them, it was an adventure. You know, it was not immediately encouraging. With Korchinski, it's immediately encouraging, and it's great. We could rave about him the entire preseason, probably, but this may be his last game. I think that's why him and Savoie played in this one, because they're probably going to go back down tomorrow, I would think.
Yeah. Korchinski, we talked about him a lot last night. Man, this kid could play in the NHL right now. I don't want him to.
No, I agree.
He could.
I think if there was a certain former GM in charge,
he'd have an A on his sweater.
Yeah. He'd play 15 games and then he'd get traded for what former Hawk do we need to bring back?
Alex Nylander.
There you go.
Yeah.
But man, he
looks great.
Yeah.
He's so good. His hockey sense is and skating and the edges he takes, how quickly he can turn his body to, and it's like he does it so quickly that the opposing team doesn't even see it happening. They're like, oh my God, where'd he go? It's all at an elite level at his age. Nothing these last two nights. Now, you mentioned it right before we started recording, that first goal, a little soft on the defense. Yeah. It's going to happen with young defenders. But the overall package, he's got elite level skills of the stuff you can't coach, the natural ability. Mm-hmm. And imagine when he gets some coaching and he gets some more size and a little more experience. I don't want to go crazy. It's two preseason games, but God damn, does he look good? Like, yeah. I mean, it's hard not to be excited about that player.
Yeah, I think back to our reaction on draft night and being like, oh, a defenseman, great. But now you see exactly why they made that selection at seventh overall, because it's likely he wasn't going to be there much longer, because you see the talent level that he has. You saw what he did in juniors last year, and I'm excited to see what he does. 99.999% sure he's going back to Seattle and he's going to play there all year. But I'm excited to see what he does, because he was a leader for that team that reached the WHL final, and they have aspirations to do much of the same and even more this season, and he's going to be a very important part of it. He might be the highest scoring defenseman in that league this year if he continues on this on his trajectory. And that's just, that's exciting to see, and that's what you want to see with some of these guys. In previous years, as recently as 2 years ago, some of these players that were eligible to go back to junior, or go back to Europe or whatever, that the Blackhawks have had, and they've played early on, too early, as it has come to be known. You would have loved to have seen them go back and dominate at the junior level, to get that foundational confidence that, hey, I can do this very well against people that are at my same age and skill level, and I can do it better than them. Now let me test it against guys who are bigger, older, faster, better, and see where it goes. Not be so far over your head where you're just like, I know we've used this analogy a bunch of times, where you're like the duck on the pond, where it's just like, yeah, up top above the water, it looks like everything's fine. But below, it's just like, the wheels are the wheels are spinning so fast that things aren't actually registering. So with guys like Korchinski, and Nazar is going to be in college, and Sam Rinzel, those three first round picks that Davidson made this past draft, those guys are going to take some time. Rinzel's a project. He's still in the USHL before going to college. So these guys are going to take some time to develop. But if you can see them dominate at these junior levels before making the jump to the pro game, it's going to feel a lot better than if they were thrown right into the fire.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, Korchinski already has that a little bit with 61 assists for Seattle last year, putting up big numbers. But you can see him going back, and I mean, yeah, you said maybe leading the league in scoring for defensemen. I don't think that's out of reach at all. I mean, like you said, I said last night, I think he is one of the Hawks' six best defensemen right now. And I'm not.
He could be.
Again, I don't. To be clear, I don't want him to play here this year. I just don't. I
Yeah.
like we said, the duck on the pond thing, all those sort of things. Like, let these kids get their legs under them and really be ready when it's time to come up. But it looks like that time for Korchinski might not be as far away as we thought the night the pick was made. You did mention Mario, the goal he was on the ice for, and I do want to focus on some of the things that stood out in a negative way. I know we've got two games so far, and we've been pretty much 90% positive about both of them, which is a really good sign, I think, because it's not like we're trying to find positives. There's been a lot of them, but there were a few things tonight that stood out to me. You mentioned both goals that Ernie scored for Detroit. A little bit of weak D in front. First, it was Phillips and Korchinski. Then it was, or I got it backwards. It was Regula and Korchinski the first time. Then it was Phillips and Regula the second time. Just kind of some soft, not really finishing the play, kind of poke checking out there. Look, rookie mistakes, it's also a preseason game. I don't know if you want guys completely balling out and killing themselves in a preseason game, but those things sort of stood out. And I'd sort of hoped to see more from Philip Kurashev in this game. Did end the night with an assist, but there were no real standout plays from him where he had, a shift where he controlled the puck very well. I thought he was not a huge factor. And Boris Kachuk, I wrote about this in my Hawks Hits that'll be available shortly after the game or after the podcast is up. Complete non-factor. I mean, that's a guy with some NHL experience who we all liked off the bat after the trade, made some waves, and then went the last 10 games of the year with 0 points and a minus five. I don't know. I hope that Kachuk doesn't feel like he's got a spot locked up, because you got to show something. And you've got some young forwards showing something. You know, you've got Gutman and you've got, you know, you've got other guys who look like they want to be here and want to play. And you know, you talk about Josiah Slavin, who's working his ass off and trying to earn a roster spot. There's a lot of guys who could take his spot from him.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys like Mike Hardman, Josiah Slavin. You know, you look at a guy maybe like Michael Tepley if he continues or if he starts to you know, improve a little bit. You know, he didn't have a great game last night, but you know, there's plenty of those bottom six forwards that are on the bubble of the NHL AHL that could push their way into the NHL if the opportunity is there. And yeah, Tkachuk is not a guy that I'm penciling in. It's like, yep, he's on the NHL roster. Like he's got to compete for a spot. Most of these players have to compete for a spot. So, I would hope that you know, the amount of guys that are, you know, on the bubble, on the fence of making the NHL would actually ramp up the competition when it comes to, you know, training camp and, you know, in these preseason games.
Yeah, I'm looking at the event summary here. Tkachuk, he was a plus one, 1507, one shot, one hit. Just, you know,
yeah,
barely out there. So
yeah, you need some. You definitely need some more out of him. And he got almost over 4 minutes of power play time too tonight, which won't happen again. You are never gonna. He had 438 of power play time tonight. I don't think he even sniffs that in 82 games combined in the regular season.
No, I'd be probably not.
Something's going seriously wrong if Boris Tkachuk, or seriously right for him if he gets the power play time.
But, sure, sure.
Yep.
There were a couple guys on the back end that I was interested to see. You know, all the talk about Korchinski, and rightfully so, but I think overall it was a really young defensive core out there today. It's Riley Stillman being really the only NHL defenseman out there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see a lot out of him. I didn't see a ton out of him, but I didn't see anything that alarmed me either.
Yeah. I made a nice play late in front of the net to block a shot on a scoring chance as time was wrapping up.
And he had five hits, which I believe led the team. So that's his game. That's when he's playing well, is when he's hitting people. So he had 18 minutes. Defensively, Alec Regula led all defensemen with over 23 minutes of ice time tonight. Had an assist on the game-winning goal. It was his shot from the point on that power play that gave up, that led to the juicy rebound that Jujhar Kara put in. He had three shots on goal, three hits, a couple of takeaways. Over 3 minutes of power play time, and good for him playing against the team that drafted him and traded him to the Blackhawks. And
yeah,
he's a Detroit area kid too, so he's playing in his homeland, so to speak, and he performed really well. So good for him.
Did anybody else hear? I don't know if I heard this correctly, so maybe you guys heard it too. I thought I heard one of the Red Wings broadcasters say that Regula has a spot wrapped up on the team.
He did say that. He said it appears that he has a spot wrapped up on the team. Again, that's a little out of town misinformation. I wouldn't say that, but based on how much he played tonight, you could easily make that judgment, not knowing the situation.
But also, I would completely write that off as out of town stupid. But you mentioned the Detroit ties. You know, there's people there that probably know his parents and know some. A little more info than your typical prospect, right? Because of the drafting and the fact that he's from there. So maybe there's something to it, maybe not. But I thought I heard that, but I wasn't positive.
Out of the young guys, I mean, it certainly looks like it's Vlasic and Regula are the guys. They're the guys that have the jobs to lose at this
point. Yeah, seems that way, especially with Ian Mitchell not being in the fold.
Right. And Philip Ruse, shout out to him. He played really well in his NHL debut. Again, he had made a real nice offensive play and hit the post.
Yeah.
I think it was in the first period.
He was a little too deep there. Yeah.
But, you know, he had a nice game too. He was a guy I was trying to keep an eye on. I don't want to sound spoiled, but I'm spoiled. It's so much different trying to track a specific player on a television broadcast than when you're sitting up in the press box. It's so much easier to focus on certain guys, but especially when it's not even your hometown broadcast, you kind of have to listen to how great Pia Suter and Dominic Kubalik are going to be this year. And
you're like,
they both won Swiss MVPs. Yeah, have fun with that. I don't hate either of those guys. I like both of them as people, but did you see the they had a little interview with Dominic Kubalik?
Yeah, it was just like
the practice room.
My first year was good, and my second year was good, and my third year was not. That was like the entirety of the interview.
He said, "Oh, the coaching change made me stink. The coaching changed 11 games. What happened to the other 71 games, pal?"
Well, you could ask a lot of Hawks that question too, though.
Well, that is true, but the one I couldn't really focus on what he was saying because I was staring at the awful attempt at a mustache he had going on. Did you see that thing?
It
looked like it was drawn out with an etching sketch. It was awful.
It's pretty light.
I was distracted. I couldn't listen to what he was saying. It's like, what is that? A caterpillar on your lip? Is it moving? What are we doing here?
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't great.
He had an impressive slap shot goal in their first game, but nothing to hate him for. That's what he does is shoot slap shots. And when they don't go in, he's a bad player.
Yeah. I mean, he's a one trick pony. And when the one trick doesn't work, he's just a pony. Overall, wrap that up. The young defensive core tonight, pretty good. I mean, all things considered, very little NHL experience, if at all, amongst the six of them playing against a fairly close to what the Red Wings opening night lineup is going to be. A lot of their regulars were in, not full lineup, but 2/3 of the team that played for the Red Wings tonight will likely be on the NHL roster at the start of the year. So overall, when I saw the rosters this morning at the skate, I was like, oh boy, this is going to be, this could be ugly fast. And then the Hawks score 11 seconds in, but then they give up the goal right back. And you're like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
But they settled down and played nice.
It did get ugly for a while. They had 6 shots on goal in the first. And then I think like 5 to 7 minutes into the second, they still had 6 shots on goal. And then suddenly seemed to find themselves a little bit in the second half of the second period. But those things are going to happen with a young team that's they're completely overmatched talent wise in this one. Nothing overly concerning, but there were those times where Detroit did have a pretty heavy edge in play. But I want to say this too, you talk about the defensive system. At no point in either of these games yet, and we've seen the Hawks in both of the preseason games play against, like you said, 60% NHL competition.
Yeah,
you haven't seen them running around their zone a lot. Even we've had those night terrors about the Domi Athanasiou Kane line. They're getting pinned deep for a while, and you saw it a couple times. But overall, and this is what Richardson's been talking about, being a good defensive team means getting the puck out of your defensive zone, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to give up some chances, but it's minimizing those chances. And through two games, you can see the defensive system, as everyone has said, is more simple, and you've not seen those long, drawn-out shifts where the other team just has the puck and the Hawks just can't get it away. We haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I remember, many times over the last few seasons where, you could just have those moments where you're like, you know what, this looks so discombobulated that they're going to allow a goal. It's going to happen in the next 5 seconds, and then 3-2-1 goal. So far, from what Luke Richardson has been preaching and implementing, and what we've seen so far in these two preseason games, is you don't really have those everything's in chaos moments defensively, because what he's preaching is, hey, when we get out of position, when we get out of our system, the way to get back into it is to not just keep skating and eventually figure it out. It's to, hey, you know what? I'm going to hang back. I'm going to let my guy go to the next man, and I'm going to get back to a protect the house position and just and get around the net and figure things out from there. Don't let the opposition continue to create that chaos. Bring it back and resituate yourself. And I think there were a number of times a number of times tonight where I saw, you know, the defenseman kind of getting spread out, one, two guys in a corner, you know, just open ice in the middle of the ice in the defensive zone is not something you want to allow for a lot of time. And there were a number of times where I saw the Blackhawks just kind of like, zoop, like just kind of like get back to the dots and really get back into that structure and then figure things out from there, which is a much more effective way than just trying to continue the chaos and hope that something works defensively. And I think that's going to be a big difference with this team structurally compared to the last few seasons.
Well, we talked about too, you know, the physical impact of having to chase your man throughout the zone all the time. If you do have in the old Jeremy Cowan system, if you do have a quote unquote successful defensive shift, it's also incredibly inefficient. So that's why we saw the Hawks like get tired late in games so many times, because they're just chasing and chasing and chasing. And after a while, you know, 25 minutes for Seth Jones in that system is a hell of a lot different than it's going to be in this system, just because of an economy of movement, right? I don't know. It just, again, we're probably overreacting to two preseason games. It's all we have to go off of so far, but we just have not seen the chaos yet. And, you know, knock on synthetic IKEA wood, hopefully that continues, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We're a little behind here, so I want to remind everybody, if you haven't noticed, you haven't turned on your television or radio or anything, it is football season. You missed.
What?
Yeah, it's week four already, so you might want to pick up on that. Grab your PointsBet app, grab your phone. If you don't have the PointsBet app, download it and use that code CHGO when you sign up. They are bringing you a better way to bet live on games. You can bet on the next drive to be a touchdown. You can cash out on your live second half over bet. With PointsBet, you have access to more live football markets than ever before. You can build your perfect live same game parlay by combining your favorite bets anytime during the game. That includes spreads, totals, player props, and more. Choose the outcome of the next drive and next points with PointsBet Lightning Bets. So whether you're on the move or on the couch, do it live on PointsBet. Download the PointsBet app today. Sign up with the code CHGO to get your first two bets risk-free up to $2,000. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
And we are brought to you by our friends at Athletic Greens and their AG1 product, which is a formula designed to improve your gut health, optimize your immune system, and give you more natural energy. Now is a good time to pick up some AG1 as the weather is getting chillier and the flu season is right around the corner. I told you guys before we were recording, I got my flu shot today. So if you've noticed, the energy is a little low, but with AG1, trying to pick that back up and be raring to go tomorrow. As you know, having an 11-month-old, you're going to need to be raring to go.
Yeah, you don't have a choice, buddy.
in just one scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens that help you start your day or finish your day just right. And if you have any dietary restrictions or follow any different diets, whether it's gluten-free or keto or dairy-free, whatever it is, AG1, you're good to go to incorporate that into that diet and into your life. It's a small once-a-day habit with big benefits. And right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is go to athleticgreens.com/CHGOBlackhawks to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
All right, we saw Lucas Raymond leave the game for a while. In the Blackhawks 4-2 win over the Red Wings. Mark Lazarus just tweeted a GIF or GIF, whatever you call it. The correct thing is GIF, of Samuel Savoie giving him a little drive-by elbow in the face. Not a clean hit, kind of a dirty play. And I've been very happy with the way Savoie has played. But stuff like that you don't want to see. It's, you know, preseason game, a star player, there's no need for it. He's going to have his chances to make those hits as his career goes on, and they can be clean. But to stick the elbow out there and go after the chin of Lucas Raymond is not a good look. So hopefully the coach is getting his ears after the game about that one. Look, those things happen in the game. You're trying to make an impact. You're trying to be physical. But there is definitely intent on that one. And that's what you hate to see, because if that happens in a regular season, that's probably a suspension. So players like Savoie and back in the day, Andrew Shaw, were more valuable when they were available. So it's finding the balance of those hits, the time, the place, the way, the technique, to be physical but not go over the line and be a dirty player. So hopefully Savoie gets a message after the game on that one. And who it's be interesting, you know, can the NHL do any, I mean, they could suspend him, but like,
yeah, they can,
you know,
they could, yeah, because they can't fine him because he's not under an NHL contract. So I wonder, what that would be.
Maybe you'll be suspended in 3 years when you come up.
Yeah. Your NHL debut will be, delayed
debut.
Two games.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just want to, I think we have an obligation to call it, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we're excited by him. He's been good. But you don't, it's bullshit. You don't want to see a hit like that. So got to call
it. There's a fine line between being a pest and being a dirty player. And he crossed the line on that play.
I could see your first book, The Fine Line Between a Pest and a Pudwack by Greg Boyson. Yes.
The Fine Line of Pudwackdom.
Yeah, exactly.
Subtitle, How to Not Cross It.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, just wanted to point that out. The other thing I thought it was interesting, and I wrote about this in my Hawks hits, go to allchgo.com to check that out. Sam Lafferty wearing an A. Which wasn't the most surprising thing. By the way, if you missed it, the Hawks captains this year will be Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Seth Jones at home, and Connor Murphy on the road. Those are the guys who will wear the letters. But with none of those four playing in this game, it was Lafferty, it was Stillman, and it was Jujhar Khera. And I think it makes sense to give it to Lafferty. But what I wrote about on allchgo.com was just, you know, the absolute juxtaposition of He Who Shall Not Be Named and Kyle Davidson and Sam Lafferty and Alex Nylander, right? And just the way the two GMs do their business, the things they're looking for in a player. Sam Lafferty goes from kind of can't find his spot in Pittsburgh, and both guys get traded for a change of scenery. Lafferty comes here, immediately steps into a solid role and has an A on a sweater in the second preseason game to show for it. Meanwhile, Alex Nylander has not played a game for the Penguins since the trade and may not ever. I don't know. It's just, I think it's very symbolic. So I want to make sure I took a second to point out Lafferty wearing the A, because it's something, even if Nylander had been producing, you'd never see. You would never see that guy in any sort of leadership role. And I really do think that with Lafferty being Davidson's first ever move as GM, he was interim at the time. It has just been indicative of everything he's done since. The focus on speed and compete and toughness. And the Red Wings broadcast mentioned it tonight, saying the Hawks look fast, the Hawks look tough. That's something we haven't heard in years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was the, like you said, the first move under Davidson. And it was really just a stamp of like the blueprint that he wants to have for this Blackhawks organization as the years go on. And you saw it again in this draft class. Each player that Davidson has been targeting through the draft, through trades, through free agency, has been someone who has a high compete level speed in their game, whether it's it's foot speed or being able to play in transition, and some semblance of being tough to play against. And not the tough to play against where, oh, I'm going to punch you in the face. No, tough to play against where you're constantly forechecking, or you go to the tough areas of the ice and you are hard in those areas, whether it's the front of the net, behind the net, in the corners, whatever it might be. All of those players in the draft class had some or a combination of those characteristics. Sam Lafferty has a combination of those characteristics with his work ethic and his speed in his game. It's a great indication of where, you know, the organization kind of values him. We've said so much, especially even tonight, how many players do or do not have roster spots locked up. I have no doubts. It's funny. It's like, oh yeah, Seth Jones, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, and then everything's up for grabs. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% confident Sam Lafferty will play the entire season in the NHL.
Agreed.
I have no qualms about that, just because of the way that he plays and what he brings to the team. Doesn't always show up in the score sheet, but I mean, you have, contending competitive teams need to have at least one of those kinds of players on their roster.
Yeah, it was Kyle Davidson's first trade transaction shortly after he got the interim tag. And, he'll shall not be named Love, the reclamation project guys like Nylander or, who's some of the other,
Henrik Borgstrom.
Yeah, Borgstrom or Anthony Duclair. I mean, eventually Anthony Duclair found it. It took him three more teams before he got there, but. But guys like that were like, man, if everything goes right, this guy might be good. Where Dubas or geez, wow, it's late. Davidson is like wrong his, Kyle.
His nemesis.
Yeah, evil Kyle, good Kyle. He has an idea of what he wants, and he finds guys that fit his idea, as opposed to trying to make guys. Fit your vision, you find guys who already are there. You put guys in positions to succeed, and Lafferty was put in a position to succeed, and he's taken full advantage of it. And yeah, I echo what you said, that he is an NHL player this season. He's not going to have the luxury of a Beefaroo in Rockford this
year. Oh man, so, he's probably really bummed about that.
He could still make the trip if he
Hey,
really
there's going to be
to.
Plenty of guys going back and forth that can bring him a to-go order if he really needs it.
There you go. Speaking of Sam Lafferty, let's get to our fourth stars of the game. The three stars of the game in this one, selected by Max Boltman of The Athletic. Number one star, Jujhar Khaira.
He had the only vote.
That's it. He's the one guy who says...
He might have been the only guy in the press box.
Oh, man. Thanks,
yeah, right. That could be true. Yeah. Adam Ernie for Detroit obviously has two goals in the game, so he gets the number two star. And the number three star Blackhawks goaltender Arvid Soderblom, if you were watching the game, his brother, Elmer, is a giant man playing for the Red Wings.
Big kid.
He was impressive as hell, man.
Yeah.
It very much reminded me of Spaceballs, where Lone Star has the hand out and Dark Helmet is trying to swipe at him. That's how Elmer Soderblom looked on the ice. But Sam Lafferty is going to get my fourth star of the game. Again, more sort of symbolically, just from what we've seen these two games from the Hawks, the compete level, the defending, everything. I like to see the first of Davidson's moves wearing the A today. So because of that, and because of a pretty solid performance, had an empty net goal and was effective all over the ice, had 2 points. Sam Lafferty gets my four star.
Yeah, he had a solid game. There were a few turnovers in the middle of the ice that I'd like to see cleaned up before we move on to the regular season, but those are coachable moments. Luke Richardson likes to use that term a lot, so there's going to be some video, and hopefully that gets addressed. My third star of the game, I'm going to go with Lucas Reichel. We wanted to see him assert himself, and he did with that beautiful goal set up by the great pass by Kevin Korchinski, we talked about. And he had a really nice shot. He got in behind it to use that speed burst that we've seen in the AHL level and beat a number one NHL goalie for the goal. It wasn't like he was doing it against, the backup. So, I wanted to see more after that. Unfortunately, that was the only shot on goal he had the whole night. So, I mean, if you're only going to take one, make a count. He did. But it just seemed like, he was on the top line. He got a lot of power play time, but just kind of seemed like, he wasn't out there a ton. And maybe that's because maybe Luke Richardson kind of already has his, idea of what he plans for him. So he's not going to overuse him in a preseason game. Who knows? But, Lucas Reichel got that goal. First one we've seen him score at the NHL level, though it's not going to count in his historic stats, but it was still fun to see.
Yeah.
And good for him. Hopefully that's the kind of play you got to see early in the game that hopefully gets that confidence ball rolling. And now he's like, okay, I could score at this level. Let's do this. I'm just going to play my game.
Nice to see him pick up the Kirby Doc Faceoff Award. One out of six for Reichel from the dot. So not great.
Not great.
Yeah, not great.
It's better. Hey, you know what? It's better than 0 for 6.
Yeah, he got the one.
Again, Greg, the optimist on the show at all times.
I know. People. Somebody on Twitter told me this morning, like, I liked you better when you were independent. You were far more critical. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm not going to spend this entire season shitting on everything because that's no fun for anybody.
Well, it's also... It's got to be
exhausting.
It's got to be in the context too. Like, are we gonna get on the air and like just shit on Michael Tepley? Like,
no.
It's a rebuild. There's no reason. There's no reason to go game by game and rip people apart for losing.
No.
Like the players here that matter are very few.
I would be pissed and I'd be screaming if as I was at the beginning of last year when you tried to tell me that this was a playoff team and they played like absolute ass. This team is supposed to be bad by design, so I'm not going to get mad that they're bad. That's how they were built.
That's the expectation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to look for the positives, and if I'm too shiny and happy for you, kiss my ass. How about that?
Don't worry. When the Hawks are good again, we'll be negative again.
Yes.
Yeah. They only won 4-1, those bums.
Assholes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with Reichel, I would assume... he will be in the lineup this weekend. Probably guarantee he'll be in the lineup on Sunday. I think the Blackhawks are making that Milwaukee game the special one of the preseason for obvious reasons. So I would be surprised if he's not in that lineup. I would be surprised if that's not a pretty heavy NHL lineup as well.
Yeah, I would think that Sunday game against the Wild in Milwaukee is going to be pretty much dress rehearsal for the regular season. We'll pretty much see.
Pretty close, yeah.
We're going to get a really good idea what Luke Richardson wants to roll out in Denver in that game in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yep.
My fourth star of the night. Welcome back, Dylan Sakura.
Yeah.
Opening goal of the game, 11 seconds in. Good old number 79 out there. A great hockey number.
So many legends.
Yeah, I'm really trying to, you know, really trying to shine this up for him. But you know what? I'm glad he's back in the role that he's going to play. Like, we're not looking at Dylan Sakura to be like, hey, maybe he can be the 60-point NHL player that we thought he was going to be. No, he's going to be in the AHL. He's going to be in Rockford. He's going to be probably a big offensive producer in Rockford, just like he was last year in the AHL with Henderson, the Golden Knights AHL club. He's going to play that same role. And hey, you know what? If he's tearing it up in the AHL and the Blackhawks want to give him a little bit of an extended look at the NHL level, fine. I have no problems with that. So, got the opening goal 11 seconds in. His first game back with the organization. Good for him.
Yeah, I think we'll see him at some point this year. If, you know, people are going to get injured, trades are going to happen. And, you know, if one of your top six guys gets injured, they're going to need to bring up some form of offense.
Right.
And if he can get some tick during the dynasty years, he can certainly do it during these years too. So,
yeah,
I think we'll see him. But yeah, good to see, get him back on the board. And I saw that, forgot who wrote about it, but he added a significant amount of weight. He's trying to get bigger and more physical.
I saw him between, you know, morning skate and then the non game group skate yesterday morning. That feels like a lifetime ago. yesterday morning, and I remember watching him walk by and I was like, dang, he looks way bigger than he did when he was first in the pro game.
I had that in my my Hawks hits about the over the weekend. I talked to him Saturday, and he had said that he had added since he had last been here. He's about 15 or 20 pounds heavier.
He looks
and same. He's trying to do the things to play at the NHL level and stay in the league. I think he's got the point of his career where he realizes he's not going to be that 40 goal scorer that he envisioned himself could be, and he's trying to be, as in his own words, harder to separate from the puck. He wants to be more of a 200-foot player. So he's kind of – some guys get that realization much earlier in their career. A guy like Mackenzie Entwistle was more of an offensive player in juniors, and he realized right away if I want to play pro, and it, that ain't it. So it's taken Sakura a couple more years, but from the way he sounded over the weekend, he's realized, hey, it's kind of more important what I do without the puck than what I do with the puck. And that's what I want to be. You know, if I want to keep playing, I have to play different than the way I have been. And that's good to hear. I like Dylan Sakura. He's a good guy. You know, disappointing, but maybe overhyped, and that wasn't his fault. But
also, he was record, not a Quenneville guy at all.
No.
You know, like, when you look at the kind of guys that Q liked, I think it's a safe bet that from day one, Q's like, nah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he wouldn't go secure his biggest problem early in his career. He refused to go in between the dots.
Oh,
just he wanted to play on the perimeter.
To be clear, not a knock on Q. But
if you're not, if you're a young kid and you don't want to get into the middle of the ice, Joe Quenneville's got no time for you.
Right.
If you're not Johnny Gaudreau, it's very few players can pull that off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, for one, love Dylan Sakura's number this year, being born in the great year of 1979. Way to rock that number, Dylan.
There you go. I don't think he was, but yeah.
No, he was not. he was not. Nobody in the league was born in the 70s at this point.
Is that true?
Joe Thornton?
Gotta be. Is he?
No.
No, Joe Thornton is like 80, isn't he?
He would have been close.
Joe Thornton, 1979. Boom!
Hey!
But he's technically not in the league, is he?
Shut up!
He's not on a team.
PTO, right? PTO Panthers?
Is that right?
Sharks. I don't know if it was a PTO. I thought he read he was just practicing with them. I didn't know if it was an actual PTO.
To the internet.
Yeah.
To the Google machine.
Someone will sign him at some point.
Yeah, someone will pick him up. Exactly.
Joe
Thornton. Don't see anything official here, no.
Not Co Thornton. Joe Thornton.
Let's bring him to the Blackhawks on a PTO.
July 2nd, 1979. That's what you know what? That's what I said.
How about I know Chara is retired, but when was he born?
Chara probably was, same year.
77. The year he's older than me.
Dang.
He's the last guy older than me to play in the NHL.
Nice.
Crazy.
RIP.
That's crazy.
End of an era.
He's not Coolio. He's not dead.
Yeah. How about that?
You know, I was actually going to mention that before.
Yeah. Why'd you kill Coolio?
That's sad.
I didn't do it.
I got to tell you about this. I had like this streak over the last year where I'd be like, hey, whatever happened to this famous person? And then they would die that week. It happened with Little Richard. It happened with some pro wrestler. I don't remember who it was. And Hope's like, you haven't thought of Little Richard in 15 years. And then you ask me about him and the next day he dies. Greg was telling me how great Coolio was to see live. And I'm like, I saw him years ago and now he's dead. So I don't know if it was me or you. It might have been me again.
I literally just saw him perform 10 days ago at Riot Fest. He was in town. He looked great. Was in, you know, sounded great. Was a really good set, fun set. The It Takes a Thief album, that was in heavy rotation on my Discman back in high school. I mean, I listened to that a lot with the Fantastic Voyage, and then Gangster's Paradise came out a couple years later. Good stuff, 90s hip hop. I love me some 90s hip hop. So RIP to Coolio, man. Yeah. That's a bummer. 59 years old. That's way too young.
It's not
way too young.
Literally 10 days ago, he was performing on stage, and now he's dead. It's messed up, man. It's crazy. So, you know, I don't want to be able to say I was at Coolio's last ever concert, but apparently I was at Coolio's last ever concert. So I'm happy I got to see him before he passed away, man. He was a lot of fun. So RIP to Coolio.
I saw him at Bulls halftime and it was outstanding. Highlight of the game. And then I saw him at Merchant Street Music Fest in Kankakee a few years ago. It was excellent. So, all right. And just, you know, I'm not trying to be crass, but like he died literally in the back, like on the toilet. And it's just,
I don't know if it was on the toilet, but yeah, it was in the bathroom.
To have that as your, you know, to go out like Elvis. Well,
apparently Coolio was a gigantic Elvis fan and he went out the same way.
Oh, anyway. Well, here's a smooth transition to our points bet play of the week.
Speaking about things going right down the toilet, let's talk about our betting record. Actually,
no, we've been pretty good.
We won last week. We did win. We are riding that Bears gravy train, and we decided after
shake it up a little bit.
In-depth research.
Yeah, let's shake it up a little bit.
We had a conference call earlier, and we had charts and flow graphs and some heat maps. And we decided we're going to take the Bears on the money line again. Bears. Because why the hell not? It's plus 145
against the Giants.
I know it's the road game, but and the Giants are what? They're 2-1 as well, aren't they?
Yeah, 2-1.
I'm punching it. I'm kind of like the Bears. Right now.
They're 2-1 because I don't know why. Not two juggernauts going at it by any means necessary. No. Two teams with younger QBs still trying to figure it out. The Giants lost their number one wide receiver to an injury. Yeah. Sterling Shepard. And then there was a lot of talk that they wanted to trade Kenny Galladay away. I'd take him on the Bears. But
rumor has it he just doesn't want to play football very much anymore. The Giants.
Can you
are
blame
like,
him?
No, I can't.
Can you blame him? I wouldn't want to play football very much either. It's too ouchy for me.
It is very ouchy. I can speak from experience.
But I mean, I played in high school. My knees still hurt, so I'm cool with skipping out while you can still walk. But Bears plus 145 over the Giants on the money line. Cash in your money right now. Points bet play of the week.
Do it.
Do you have the point spread in front of you?
Three.
It's three.
Bears plus three.
Bears are getting three.
I'll take that too.
Parlay it. There you go.
Yeah. I would.
Take them on the money line, you might as well, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'll win both.
It's a field goal difference. There you might go. As well.
All right. Download the points bet app. If you haven't yet, use that promo code CHGO when you sign up. You'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Use them on the play of the week, Bears plus 145, and parlay it with the plus three. You'll either win twice or lose twice. We've been on a hot streak.
The same bet. Yeah, we're riding the Bears train.
All right, so
I feel good. Jay's got his points bet T-shirt on. This is audio only, but he's got his points bet T-shirt on. He's got the mojo working. It's the easiest money you will make all week.
It's a good omen.
Some cheese fry cheese on the shirt earlier today too, which is always good luck.
Nice.
All right.
Unbeatable.
Sorry. So before we wrap up, want to fill you in on the rest of the week. Thursday is an off day for us. No podcast Thursday. We are back on Friday with a
Thursday's awful. Show. Thursday's also an off day for the Blackhawks.
Yes. Yep.
There'll be nothing going on. Leave us alone.
Friday, we are back at 1:30, typical time. The Hawks play Saturday at 7:30. And then, of course, the game Sunday in Milwaukee. We will be there in Milwaukee. So we're going to find a spot. We'll let you know on Friday or Saturday where we're going to be. If you're heading out there, we got to finalize those plans.
Well, there's some sort of big festival going on.
Yeah, I saw that. We need credentials for that or something.
Yeah. So for maybe that's our, well, we can get media credentials. It's free to go. Anybody can show up, but you have the media can go officially cover it. I think, Chris Chelios is going to be there.
Troy Murray is going to be there.
So they're having they call it in the deer. What's the
deer district?
The deer district. Yeah.
So there's going to be some Black Hawk events there. So they may have just made our job a whole lot easier. We show up there with our
might as well just hang out.
Say hello.
Hang out out there. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be hanging out. That's good. Let's call it right now. We'll be hanging out in the deer district. Probably from about 4 to 6.
We should have let our loyal listeners know that Friday's episode is going to be a special episode. It's going to be a crossover episode with our friends over at PHNX. Six people talking over each other for 45 minutes. It's going to be a blast.
Who's got it worse?
About the two worst teams in the league.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of did that a couple weeks ago when you guys were on vacation, but now we're going to get the whole crew together and the Coyotes crew. They like organization and pre-planning stuff, which totally threw us for a loop this morning. Like, as Mario put it, what do you mean? You don't just turn on the camera and start talking? What is this nonsense?
Yeah.
But it should be fun.
Clear.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Steve, Craig, and Leah and the three of us will be doing some Who Sucks More podcasting.
We'll be doing some virtual rock, paper, scissors for Connor Bedard.
Yeah, there you go.
If the official draft lottery is underway.
So that's Friday, post-game Saturday. Sunday, we're in Milwaukee. No post-game there, but we'll be back Monday and kind of do like a pseudo post-game podcast sort of thing on Monday at 1:30. So we're not going anywhere, but we're taking the day off tomorrow. So we'll talk to you Friday at 1:30 with our pals from PHNX on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at CHGO_Blackhawks. I'm at Jay Zawoski. Greg is at Greg Boyson. Mario is at Mario_Tirabassi. We'll talk to you Friday afternoon on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.